Hey everyone, welcome back to The Growth Signal. I am so excited that you are ready to rethink how you are building customer relationships. And as you know, we have incredible guests who come on the show to tell us exactly what they think, their opinions, their experiences, and really help us reimagine, rethink, and rebuild those relationships with our customers. I'm really excited to introduce you to our guest today. Welcome to the show, Chad.
Thank you so much, Alyssa. So happy to be here. Always happy to chat about customer success.
Heck yeah. I want to hear more though, because one of the things we'd like to do with this show is open up with a hot take. So what is your hot take?
Sure. I would say that my hot take is that the way that we've been thinking about the customer success manager role has fundamentally changed. I'm not going to say that the CSM is dead. That's just, you know, too much. And I hate that sort of terminology, but, you know, I'd say that in the era that we're in, where we're seeing companies trying to go leaner, we're seeing companies that are, I'd say, in many ways, trouble. Like, you know, there's their customers are asking for more. There's more on them to prove value to their customers. And this is where I think that the CSM role has fundamentally changed. It needs to switch from being this, I'd say, more on the helper side. So think of the CSM as the firefighter or the concierge, and more taking on that strategic aspect where they focus on the company's business. They focus not just on the product, and they don't just focus on adoption. They focus on outcomes. And I'd say the last thing, which is not controversial, but the CSM is typically focused on their customers, and they really need to be thinking not only about their customers, but even more so about their company. And what I mean by that is not just their immediate team, but the greater business, and how to make sure that they're thinking about how do we make this sort of a longevity. It's, you know, not thinking about profit and loss, but really thinking about their overall company and how to help the greater company.
I agree with you on a lot of those hot takes. And I think depending on your experience and your way in the world, that take is a little bit less hot or a little bit more hot depending on where you sit. So I come from more of like the sales side of the house. I've always worked in like pre-revenue, right? I'm pre-sale. And so for me, of course, you should be thinking about the company. And of course, you know, you should be thinking about closing deals and driving outcomes. But historically, customer success, I like to describe them as like the reluctant participant in their own company. Like there's a little bit of, I'm on your side, customer. You know, my company, they suck. I'm on your side. Right. Rather than really looking at being the true middleman and saying, I can make both things successful and help both sides find success.
Yeah. I mean, I would say there's a lot of reps out there that are thinking about their quota as well. So I think it's like prevalent throughout. And I'd say like not all customer success people are like this, but I'd say that if you're looking to grow your career and you're looking to drive an impact, the people that are more short-sighted will be thinking about, well, this is the feature request that my customer needs and I need this right now, or I'm not going to get my renewal. And really what, you know, you should be thinking about is how do you make your case for that particular feature request? So, you know, almost like a politician going around and trying to determine, okay, well, how many customers does this impact? How much dollars does this impact today in terms of retention? And how much more money can we unlock if we actually get this feature, you know, implemented? So that's the difference. It's, I say, a different mentality. But similar to what you're saying, it's kind of expanding your view. And I'd say like even more so is that when it comes to conversations, and a lot of us fall into this trap, we go into a customer meeting and, you know, we think about, okay, we're going to try to get them to use this part of our product, or they're not using this part of our product. Like, why are they not using it? And, you know, I can't believe this customer. And it's almost like flipping it around to see like, okay, well, what do I want to achieve in this call? What's the purpose of this particular call? It's like, okay, I do want them to try and use these areas, but let's try and think of the customer almost as a hero in their journey and figure out, well, what is it that we need, you know, to learn about them and what's blocking them and what does success actually mean for them? Because a lot of times our focus is like, we'll get them to use this feature, where their focus is like, I want to go home and like see my family, or I want to go to the bar tonight. So why am I even entertaining a call with you? So it's a different sort of mentality. And I'd say that the addition to that is becoming more efficient and being able to focus more on the strategic elements. The CSM has to leverage more technology and not even necessarily wait for their company to give them that technology. I think with some of the tools like today that we have with AI, I think that a lot of CSM should be really empowered to figure some of these things out themselves and to get really innovative.
You mentioned a couple of different skills, I'll call them, in there. You mentioned that as a CSM, you have to figure out how to play the politics, right? Of how do you unlock and tell that. But you also talked about like storytelling and that storyteller's journey. So both of those in my mind are like actual skill sets you have to be able to navigate that political scene, right? I didn't have that skill when I first got into this. I've worked for small companies my whole life where I knew everyone, I knew their dog, I knew their kids, I knew everything about them. Yeah. And then I started doing some consulting for these huge companies and I accidentally stepped in like a political bear trap that I didn't even know existed. Because I had no idea that there were these games that were played in these enterprise companies. And so I learned real fast how to develop some political chops. But like, what other skills do CSMs need in order to navigate their role, especially as that role is changing in the world of CSMs are now revenue drivers and that you're expected to hit certain quotas. And now that AI is here to fundamentally maybe not take your job, but change your job.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I'd say that it's not even at the enterprise. Like, you can have a company of like 10 people, and you know, it's really a matter of like taking the time to meet your colleagues and really understand and what's going on with them. You know, we talk about the CSM role, we talk about empathy and the need to kind of put yourself in your customer's shoes, but very rarely do we take the time to put ourselves in the shoes of people on other teams. And so, one of the best pieces of advice that someone ever gave to me was they said, you know, go and talk to colleagues in other functions like marketing and sales and even like billing and just say, how can I help you? And just by doing that, it really breaks down a lot of barriers because, you know, as a sales rep, you know, it's like, you know, he really could help me. And it's, you'd think that, they might be asking you for a lot, but, you know, just getting little anecdotes about your customers, you know, what are some things that are working well? What's resonated with them? What's some sort of competitive advantage that you learned? So I think that that's like, part of it is like trying to empathize with them, learn about them. But even something that you mentioned, like just having a chat like this, like you mentioned, you know, you're from Iowa, and we didn't have a chance to like talk more, but like just getting to know the person a little bit more, learning about what they, you know, what's going on in their lives, and then you sharing what's going on in your life as well. And it's funny because we do this almost instinctively with customers, but rarely do we take the time to do that internally. And so a lot of the times there is a lot of commonality in what people internally are trying to do, but you don't connect over it. And then you just, it leads to like butting of heads and, you know, you don't want to call it like politics, but at the end of the day, like that's kind of what it is. And is if you think about just putting that word aside and just think about like building personal relationships, you'd be surprised like what will come out of that. Because not only can you find out maybe that they're working on something similar, or maybe they just weren't thinking about how you were thinking, but maybe there's some tooling or maybe there's some ideas that they have that could really benefit you. So, you know, going back to like, you know, AI and other technologies, a lot of the things that I'm learning about and thinking about doing, I'm actually learning, let's say, from an engineer and saying, oh, okay, you're doing that. Okay, that's really interesting. I didn't even think about it from that perspective. It's like, oh, I could, you know, talking about storytelling, I could create a GPT, take a whole bunch of customer stories, put it into it, put in some playbooks, and then create some sort of mechanism that in a certain scenario, I could plug that scenario in and it can tell me, here are the things that's recommended. Here are some customer stories that you can leverage for that. So it's just a matter of like seeing how you can get help from other people rather than seeing them as a hindrance.
Yeah, politics is a dirty word in our world these days, but really at the very beginning, at its inception, politics was about connecting with people, understanding what they need, and trying to advocate for that good, right? As what it was intended to be, not what it's become. But you have a lot of things that you said in there where we can learn from people who don't necessarily work in our sphere. Mm-hmm. I love to work with people who are curious, just generally curious, not like the thing you put on your resume. You're like, I'm very curious and I'm a great problem solver, but like the people who are generally want to know how it works, how it's made, and maybe not even understand how it connects yet. But I could see, you know, in customer success, working with an engineer, especially on AI, where they have their blind spots about AI because they maybe understand the technical aspects we have our blind spots about AI because we only see, you know, the parts of it that show up on our TikTok For You page or in the LinkedIn post that we, you know, read last week. When you're thinking about connecting those conversations, those relationships, and all the people in your orbit, how do you go about doing that, though, when we live in a Zoom-first environment?
Yeah, it's a really good comment. I would say that one of my former managers, he had this expression. It was called like pick up the phone, and then, like, it's not necessarily like picking up a physical phone, but some of the things that you can see that are obvious when you really need to like get out of like Slack or Jira or Linear is like when you start to see this back and forth, and like you can see like the sarcasm, like, and the passive aggressiveness, and even the frustration. It's like, just, you know, click that, like, whatever, Meetup or Zoom or whatever it is, and just get on a quick call and talk. And I think that you have to sort of flip that switch where it's so easy just to write that message, like you're on a call. But what I'd suggest is take a moment and say, okay, this has gone on long enough. I'm going to book time with this particular person, or I'm just going to stop what I'm doing and look to get on a call. And so I think a couple of things. Like, one is you need to create space for yourself to allow for that, because if you have back to back and you don't have a time to just jump on a call with somebody, then you could just get into this, like, you know, spiral, like downward spiral of frustration. I think the other thing is that you need to plan ahead. So one of the things that I've talked about, and, you know, talk about my book in a bit, but this area around productivity. So in order to be productive and to be this more strategic CSM, you have to be planning ahead. You can't kind of go into a week and be like, all right, what am I doing? You know, and then you see your calendar. It's like, oh, there's some blank spaces. Oh, there's some, I think I should talk to this customer. And the same kind of planning that you should go into determining which of your customers you should speak with, you should be doing the same thing internally and thinking about, okay, like, I haven't spoke to this person in a little while. Maybe I'll book some time. I'll do like a coffee date, like a virtual coffee date or something like that. And so those are some of the things that you should be thinking about and planning ahead. And I think the other thing is that you know, as I kind of moved on in my career, I used to do like the in-person, like kind of after work sort of things and get togethers. And a lot of, sometimes that's turned into like virtual stuff. And then, you know, as I started to have kids, I started to skip these things. It's like, oh, I don't have time for this stuff. But I was one of the dumbest things I've ever done is that you should look for those kind of in-between cracks in time where you can meet up with your colleagues, you can build those social connections. And then that way, like, you know, it doesn't become foreign when you reach out to somebody. I think the last thing is that as a leader, one of the best things I've ever done is set up these, what they're called, I use Geekbot, but it's like a Slack stand-up that we do weekly. And it's not the standard things like, what are you going to get done this week? And like, you know, what are you going to get done next week? Or what did you get done this week? What are you going to get done next week? And I do that with my leaders, but with the individuals in the team, we ask them a couple of questions, and some of them are random. Number one is, what are you most proud of this week? So it gives a person the opportunity to talk about something they've accomplished, because everyone kind of focuses on the end goal, like NRR and GRR and renewals and all these things. But like, it's all about making progress. So what are you proud about? Like, what did you do today, like this week? Maybe you connect with a client that you hadn't talked to in a while, or maybe you came up with a unique solution. And then the second thing is a random question. It's just like random personal questions, like, what's your favorite sandwich? Or who's a movie star that you met? And I think it's really important to learn about the different people and to do it virtually. And, you know, we learned all these things. This person was a semi-professional athlete. This person was like a cheerleader. This person's like first job was like, you know, at a charity, all these different things we didn't know about individuals. And it's these connections that we start to form, these informal connections, those are the things that really matter. And they gravitate and they pull people together. And one of the things, like, if I look back at some of my past roles and even this role, is that people aren't just focused on, you know, getting those clients to renew. They're focused on helping each other. And that's when you really create a strong culture. And these are some of the things. It's a lot of different rituals that you put in place to achieve that.
There's two things that you said that I want to cut back to. First, I love your question about what are you most proud of? Because I feel like when I get on these Zoom calls, sometimes they're just so tactical. Like, we're just talking about the measurable numbers. We've done our SMART goals and it's specific and it's measurable and it's actionable. But what you described there is something that's unquantifiable, right? It's something you're proud of. That's a feeling, not necessarily something you can, I mean, you probably could tie it to a numerical quantitative metric, but what you're really asking there is to share something that you're feeling rather than something that necessarily you can point to on paper. So I love that because it feels like you're being very intentional on connecting with the human side of us as employees rather than just the worker bee side.
Yes, it's really important. I mean, one of my like kind of overall approaches to leadership is like, how can I help you advance in your career? And it doesn't matter if you want to move into another role or to another department, even another company, or even if you just want to be more proficient in your role, that's important to me. And so knowing more about you as a person, that's going to help me. And when we're all busy and here at Ciena, you know, my team, I have people all over the world. I have people in Europe. I have people in Asia. I have people here in North America. And the only way for us to connect is really through some of these virtual things that we do. And, you know, when we learn more about people, and the other people learn more about them and they learn more about themselves, it starts to create something a little bit more special than, you're right, just like the normal, you know, what are your goals and like what have you accomplished? And I try and make our even our meetings more meaningful. Like we have a question that will center around something that's being discussed. And in these standups, these virtual standups, the other thing I ask them is, what's a blocker for you? What's a challenge for you? Or from 1 to 10, how are you feeling? Or what should we develop in our product that we'd be stupid not to? And all of these kind of create additional discussion points that I can look for trends and then bring them up in team meetings. And so I like a team meeting to have some sort of a discussion so that it's engaging and it's not just just like you said, like going through, you know, updates, because we don't need a meeting for that. And in fact, like I canceled a meeting last week because I didn't feel like there was enough, and I was ready for a discussion that I wanted to have. I didn't have all my data points together. And again, this kind of goes back, if we kind of tie it back to the CSM and how the CSM's changing, you know, the traditional CSM, they'd have a bunch of slides, they go into these calls with these QBRs, and they'd bore the tears out of their customers. And it's just these generic kind of approaches, and here's your data, and here's your adoption. And where I'm trying to teach our team is to change the whole game of this, call them strategic checkpoints. I'd rather go to a checkpoint that's looking what I'm doing today and then looking forward than a review that's looking backwards. And I like to treat them more like board meetings where you send the information in advance, and then it's more of a discussion, rather than this kind of, you know, pouring through a bunch of slides and then racing to get your slides done, rather than what you should be doing is better understanding their business, tying how your product, you know, relates to their goals, and then coming up with a plan, even a tentative plan of here are the things that we need to do right now. And it could even just be like, okay, let's get on another call to discuss these key points that came out of this discussion. But a lot of times, again, it's like you just race to the end, you hope that you're done, and maybe you have a minute to say, okay, like, yeah, you should do this. Or you've given them like 20 things they need to do, which completely overwhelms them and misses the point. So yeah, it's similar in some ways where our internal meetings need to get better, our external meetings need to get better, and we need to be making better use of our time, and then obviously connecting better with both customers and with each other and our team.
It goes back to, I mean, your original kind of hot take, right? That we have to stop firefighting and start thinking forward, thinking strategic, and being able to have those conversations and elevate ourselves in customer success roles to a more strategic function rather than a customer support reactive one.
Yeah, and I think that this way of thinking, I think resonates. I've talked to a number of people about this, and you know, whether you're taking on more revenue responsibilities or not, whatever you're doing, if you're taking on renewals, this acts the same way. Or sorry, and by renewals meaning like you're actually taking on the commercial responsibilities, you still need to better understand their business. You need to be thinking about how your product from a return on investment perspective matches up to what they're expecting. And even if you're maybe even just doing things, something like where you're identifying opportunities, business opportunities, you know, for, and you're passing those on to the sales team, you still need to be thinking about their business and not just trying to push new features on a customer. But if you understand what their focus is, what their challenges are, then you can kind of match the right solution to them. And I'm not even, you know, I've kind of like a waiter sometimes where I'll suggest, you know, even a competitive solution in some cases, because I'll just say like, yeah, I don't think we're the right fit in this particular area. You should look over here. And, you know, you'd be surprised like how much trust that can build for the customer, you know, between you and your customer, where they'll be like, you know what, I hear what you're saying, but actually, you know, I think I want to go with like kind of what you're proposing in your product. I think that makes more sense. And then, you know, just looking for ways that they can potentially save money in the long run, all those different things, thinking about it more from a business perspective, thinking about it more from a lifetime value perspective. I'd say the one caveat is that the CSMs have been sort of forced into a bit of a revenue, short-term minded thinking. And that's another area that I'm trying to push us away from, where you need to be short-term thinking in a lot of ways if you're revenue facing and you have those numbers, but you also need to be thinking kind of a lifetime value. And it's like, don't do dumb things that will kind of, you know, shoot you in the long run, where you're trying to shoehorn a customer into renewal that may not be right. If you do that, the next time the renewal comes around, you may not see them anymore. They might be gone already.
Yeah. And to your point, I feel like the change in the evolution for these CS teams, and maybe this is just my perspective on the outside, that the evolution has been happening really, really fast. And some people are caught off guard by it.
Yes. This mindset of moving away from that helper and making the customer happy and going into a meeting, it's like, all right, what do you want to talk about? Or even just asking the customer, like, what are your goals? That's not bad. But a much better way to ask that question is, you know, I love Bob London and his type of like these disruptive questions, where he'll ask a question like, you know, if there was a whiteboard behind you, what's the one thing you need to get off that whiteboard in the next 30 days? And it's just such a great question, because you can always visualize like a whiteboard behind you if you don't have that. And asking those types of different questions can really spur and open up different conversations that you maybe didn't have with your customer. You know, one of the things that we're doing right now is, because retention is such a major focus and, you know, just things are all over the place. We have, you know, these things going on in our economy. I'll ask a question, and I have the team asking this, you know, from 0 to 10, if you're renewed tomorrow, like, what are the chances you're going to renew? And it's an awkward question to ask, but you could ask that question. You could ask like the NPS question, like from 1 to 10, or would you refer us to friends or family and all the different things. But the renewal question is a really powerful question, because depending on what the customer tells you, maybe they'll be like, I can't tell you that right now. That's an answer in itself. And if they give you a 7, it's like, okay, well, how do we get that higher? And so whatever's going on, whatever personal questions like you've been talking about, that like narrows it down and can really guide you to make sure that you're providing the right value for that customer to ensure that they maintain, you know, a longer term relationship with you.
I have a question it's not quite the same, but my renewal question. So I come from a research background, right? So research questions are my jam. Okay. So the question I love to ask people is, when it comes time for renewal, how likely am I to get the first shot at your business? Right?
Oh,
I'm not
like
asking
that.
Them to commit to a renewal. I'm literally just saying, hey, how likely am I going to at least get the first shot? How likely am I going to be the first up to bat? And then they can say, oh, well, you know, I really like you, but my boss is good friends with such and such competitor, so we're probably going to have to review them when the time comes, right? But I'm not necessarily asking them to commit to anything.
Right.
I have never had someone decline to answer that question, and that's how you know it's a good question. So, but I love the idea of having the courage to ask, because I think a lot of people are too afraid to even ask that question because they don't necessarily want the answer.
Yeah, I mean, we're tracking that question now. Like, we have a custom object in our customer success platform, and we're measuring it, and then it goes to, like, we could use this Gecko board, which is kind of like a virtual dashboard. So it's something we measure and we look at, and it's even like comparing the CSMs, how they're asking this question. So it's really important. And I'd say, to your point, it's difficult to ask the first question, but the second question is even harder. So the second question, because sometimes, you know, like you were to ask that question, I'd be like, yeah, like no problem, I'm going to renew. And it's like, okay, wait a minute. So you're telling me that like, if your boss told you to look at this competitor, like you wouldn't look at, Like, well, maybe I would. Like, maybe they're going to send me some swag. And actually, yeah, okay, I have a meeting coming up next week. So you cannot take the first answer. You have to dig deeper. And I think that that's another thing that you need to, that's the transformation of the CSM, is really digging deeper, being comfortable, and not just being, being comfortable working within the product and hoping that, okay, they're doing these things in the product, that's going to translate into renewal and potentially like growth opportunities. Yeah. Just not good enough.
And to go back even maybe a little bit further, you really can't ask that question if you haven't built a rapport or a relationship with your customer. Because if I just come in and ask that question and all I've ever done is report to you on your usage analytics and your adoption, and then I go and ask that question, you'll be like, who are you to even ask me that, right? Like, there's got to be some human-to-human relationship built there.
Yeah, so it's interesting because in my book, like I've defined customer success as this kind of equilibrium between trust and value. You can't deliver value if you haven't built a trusted relationship. And if you lose that trust, it doesn't matter how much value you're going to like give to that customer. It's going to be a hard time getting it back. You know, if your product poops out and the customer like lose a lot of business or a lot more work comes their way, they lose a lot of time, like you've lost that trust. It's going to be really, really hard to get it back. And the CSM has to be thinking that way as well. Like, in order for you to ask that tough question, just like you said, you have to have kind of built up that rapport. And so that, you know, they are comfortable giving you that answer, because, you know, it takes time. They can't just kind of give that answer right away. And so it is important to do that. So it's a really good point.
You mentioned that you are working on a book. Tell us a little bit more about that. The book, The Trust Value Relationship, what can people expect to learn if they grab a copy?
Yeah, so I've been working on this for a few years now, and it's a passion project. It's just something that, you know, I'm really passionate about customer success. I've been doing this for a long time, and I've had some success in it. And so the book is called The Strategic Customer Success Manager, and it's a blueprint for elevating your impact and escalating your career. And the idea of it is, as I mentioned, like the CSM role's changed. The book will go through how I define, you know, the strategic customer success, but more so it's very tactical. Like if you've ever followed me, if you've gone like on my Substack or looked at my LinkedIn, I try and provide very tactical things that you can do. And these things will help kind of move yourself up. But if you've ever been told that you're not strategic enough or you're not thinking strategic enough, this book, I'd say, will really, really help you because it will help you be more comfortable going into meetings with customers. It will help you craft better questions. And it'll help you make you, I'd say, a more active and better listener as well. I think a lot of times, you know, we think that we're really good listeners, but in fact, you know, we're not the best listeners. I think you're an excellent listener. So you've been asking very good questions, but a lot of these things don't come naturally to us. And it then provides just a lot of exercises. I think of this thing called deep practice, where you need to practice these things in order to internalize them. And I think ultimately, I think it's going to help people do better in their roles and just be better in their companies and helping them in their careers.
Thinking of all of the incredible people you've had a chance to meet or to learn from, who is leading the charge? Who is changing the way we think about customer relationships?
Yeah, I'd have to go with Christy Falteruso. I think Christy is someone that I've met here in New York. She's in this area here. She's at Client Success. And I think what I really enjoy about Christy is she definitely embodies a lot of the same values that I have. But I think that a couple of things, like one is you need to care about yourself and make sure that you've taken care of yourself and your needs. And that's going to make you better as a CSM, better as a person to your friends, family. And I think that her ideas around how to be thinking about the customer and how to manage customers, I think she's just someone that you should be following and listening to. She's really has a good sense of, and she puts them out and like puts out her thoughts in very constructive, easy to follow mechanisms. So definitely someone to be looking at on LinkedIn.
I love it. I actually came across Christy for the first time on TikTok. Didn't know who she was. She popped up in my For You page. And then I realized, oh, I was already following her on LinkedIn, but I wasn't seeing her content. So then I added the little alarm bell because I was like, I loved what she was putting out on TikTok. So it was cool to see her on LinkedIn as well. So we'll have to, you're actually the second person on this show to mention Christy. So Christy's obviously got a following of people who come on this podcast, which is awesome. Chad, if someone's really connecting with you, they want to learn more, they want to get a copy of the book, they just want to connect and learn from you, where can they find you online?
Yeah, definitely follow me on LinkedIn. You know, the book's just in the midst of getting prepared in editing right now. So follow me there. You'll hear more about it. You can also go to my Substack. It's Customer Success and Failures. There's a link on my bio on LinkedIn, so you can see it there. So follow me there. And yeah, if you want to connect, reach out to me directly. I'm happy to connect there as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the Growth Signal.
All right. Thank you so much, Alyssa. It was great.